from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo delivers speech at opening of National Church Choir Competition. Indonesian Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto says that development of mental revolution is quite good. Indonesia strongly criticized the attack on the Indonesian hospital in Palestine. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo delivered a speech at the opening of the First Catholic Church Choir Competition 2018 in Ambon on Saturday, October 27. The president's speech was heard prior to a speech by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan. Although it was short, the president's comments drew much applause from the attendees at Merdeka Field. Minister Ignatius Jonan said in his speech that President Joko Widodo had conveyed two important messages to Catholics in the country regarding diversity and needs to preserve it. Diversity, which has been developed since the age of the founding fathers, is the greatest asset of the country and people must maintain and preserve it. According to Minister Jonan, President Joko Widodo said, without unity, solidarity, and brotherhood, it would not be easy to build a country. In view of that, people must all maintain and preserve it in their diversity. The first choir event to be held from October 27 to November 2 was attended by participants from 34 provinces. The Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, said that development of the mental revolution had been going well. During the 4 years of Jokowi-JK administration, the mental revolution has actually not been fully achieved since it's still on process, but the development is quite good. Wiranto said this when he opened the National Conference of Orderly Indonesian Movement in Manado, North Sulawesi, on Saturday, October 27. The event themed Building Community Awareness and Behavior to Become a Legal Agent is a supporting activity at the Real Work Week of Mental Revolution. Minister Wiranto, who is a speaker at the event, said that the government continues to strengthen state security to realize a good investment climate in Indonesia. This is evidenced by Indonesia's recognition from the international world as the 9th safest country in the world. This positive achievement is the result of the National Revolutionary National Movement proclaimed by the government. The harmony of the nation by fighting terrorism and radicalism throughout the archipelago continues to be strengthened. Indonesia strongly condemned the attack at the Indonesian hospital in the Palestinian Gaza Strip, which caused damage to a number of parts of the hospital. Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the Sidoarjo Region Hall, East Java, on Sunday said the attack did not only destroy the hospital, but also the surrounding area. President Joko Widodo, accompanied by East Java Governor Soekarwo, Regional Secretary Pramono Anung, Head of Presidential Staff Office Muldoko, Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman, Minister of Manpower Hanif Dakiri, and Sidoarjo Region Saiful Ilah, emphasized that Indonesia would always be behind Palestine in fighting for independence. Previously reported, parts of the Indonesian hospital RSI in the Gaza Strip, Palestine, suffered damage due to Israeli military attacks in the region. Prospective young diplomats from various countries are facilitated to conduct direct practice and get to know international relations in the form of UN session simulations with experts. Director of PT International Global Network Muhammad Farizal in Jakarta on Saturday said that the company oversees one of the international events of Global Goals Model, United Nations 2019. The routine program called MUN or Model United Nations will be held on January 11 to 14, 2019 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Muhammad Farizal said that MUN is more specifically trying to support the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, with 17 global goals of the World Development Agenda for the creation of prosperity on Earth. He said, as part of the world, the youth also have the responsibility and rights to contribute on the realization of 17 global goals as the key to change the world to a better direction. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia constantly implements a monetary operation strategy oriented toward maintaining adequate liquidity in the rupiah market and foreign exchange market. BI will also effectively commence the domestic non-deliverable forward, or DNDF, on November 1, 2018. BI Executive Director for Communications Agusman said in a statement received on Saturday, October 27. BI is always strengthening policy in coordination with the government and other relevant authorities in order to maintain economic stability and reinforce external resilience, including stimulating export and lowering import, which will reduce the current account deficit to 2.5% of GDP projected in 2019. Moving forward, BI will monitor prevailing economic developments such as the current account deficit, exchange rates, financial system stability, and inflation as follow-up measures to maintain macroeconomic and financial system stability. London School of Public Relations, LSPR, Jakarta, is conducting a higher educational program for autistic children by employing various methods to enable them to learn and interact with people around them. Founder and director of LSPR Jakarta, Prita Kemal Ghani, said that children with autism encounter challenges in communicating with others. The LSPR strives to offer an opportunity to children with autism to continue their education and obtain academic degrees by inculcating knowledge that can be useful to other people. Ghani explained that children with autism who study at LSPR take special classes. At certain times, they will join regular classes to meet and interact with other students. The goal is that children with autism can make friends, while for other students, they will have empathy for those with special needs, Ghani explained. Adding that with such a method, LSPR has graduated several autistic students who are able to work according to their talents and interests. He stressed that children with autism actually have the same abilities as other kids, such as in the fields of sport, art, and technology. The last item, the Indonesian Ministry of Industry continues to encourage the strengthening of branding of Indonesian jewelry products to be more competitive at the global level in line with the government's focus on increasing export value. Director General of Small and Medium Industries of the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsih, through her statement in Jakarta on Saturday, said that she had challenged members of the Indonesian Jewelry and Gold Jewelers Association to immediately create branding of Indonesian jewelry that is more competitive in the international market. According to Gati, jewelry is one of the leading commodities that contribute enough to increase the national export value. She noted, in 2017, jewelry export accounted for $2.7 billion, while until September 2018, the jewelry export value has reached $1.4 billion. To increase the national jewelry export value, the Ministry of Industry has initiated and held coordination with relevant parties so that jewelry products from Indonesia are not charged import duties in the importing countries such as Turkey and the United Arab Emirates. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on Indonesia to prioritize junior athletes in SEA Games 2019. The Ministry of Youth and Sports will require 60% junior athletes of the composition of total athletes submitted by each sporting committee to take part in the 2019 SEA Games in the Philippines. Minister of Youth and Sports Imam Nahrawi, after attending a working meeting with the House of Representatives Commission 10 in Jakarta on Thursday night, said the opportunity to achievement can increase when athletes often compete with other countries with a peak appearance at a multi-sport championship such as the Southeast Asian Games or SEA Games. For this reason, the ministry encourages junior athletes to compete in multi-events and have experience in the SEA Games until the Olympics. The Ministry of Youth and Sport has budgeted athletes' development funds of 500 billion rupiah in the 2019 state budget. Ahead of the 2019 SEA Games, ASEAN Para Games 2019 and 2020 Olympic qualifications to increase sport achievements. According to Minister Imam Nahrawi, the result in the 2019 SEA Games will be a springboard to the 2020 Olympics and the 2022 Asian Games in China. He also said Indonesia had athletes who entered the 2020 Olympics and 2020 Paralympics qualifications where the training and preparation patterns used the 2019 state budget. The minister acknowledged the budget for national training in 2019 was smaller than the 2018 budget when Indonesia was the host of the Asian Games and the 2018 Asian Paragames. In addition, related to the 2019 SEA Games in the Philippines, the Ministry of Youth and Sports asked the Indonesian Olympic Committee to fight for Indonesia's mainstay sports branches in meetings with the 2019 SEA Games Organizing Committee, such as pencak silat, rock climbing, or rowing. Previously, the SEA Games Federation Council approved the addition of 30 sports to become 56. So, the Indonesian Olympic Committee renegotiations in fighting for Indonesia's flagship sport branch to win medals must be realized. Currently, the proposed number of sports to the Philippine Olympic Committee is being studied, and if it is approved, it will be a separate record in the history of organizing the grand sporting event of the Southeast Asian nations. Well, that was my Indonesia today. On Indonesia to prioritize junior athletes in SEA Games 2019. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with October the 28th, 1924. The RHS Law School is opened. Batavia Teaching School, usually abbreviated as RHT Batavia, RHT Weltevreden, or RHS, opened on October the 28th, 1924 in Batavia. RHS is the first law college. At the beginning of the 20th century, the problem of establishing higher education institution in the Dutch East Indies was a matter of heated debate among the Dutch elite and Bumiputra, or indigenous leaders, in Indonesia. This fact shows that there was doubt and hesitation on the part of the colonial government to establish a college in the Dutch East Indies, or now Indonesia. On March 8, 1910, the colonial government approved the establishment of the Indische Universiteit Vereniging, or the IUV, the Association of the Dutch East Indies, which stated in its statute that the IUV was aimed at advancing, establishing, and managing the Dutch East Indies high schools. After on July 3, 1920, the Technische Hogeschool Te Bandung, or Technical College in Bandung, was opened, the Dutch East Indies government opened the RHS in Batavia, or Jakarta today. Turning to October the 28, 1928, the Second Youth Congress is held. Decisions of the Second Youth Congress held on October the 27th and 28th in Batavia, or Jakarta now, affirmed the ideals of one Indonesian homeland, Indonesian nation, and Indonesian language. This decision came to be known as the Youth Pledge. Although this term did not appear in the congressional ruling, it was given afterwards. Sumpah Pemuda, or Youth Pledge, is a major milestone in the history of the Indonesian independence movement. This pledge is considered a crystallization of the spirit to affirm the ideals of the establishment of the Indonesian state. Since 1959, October the 28th was designated as the Youth Pledge Day, the national day by the Indonesian government through a presidential decree number 316 of 1956, dated December the 16, 1959. I'll end with October the 28th, 1955. Bill Gates was born. William Henry Bill Gates III is a businessman, investor, philanthropist, writer from the United States, and a former CEO who currently serves as chairman of Microsoft, a software company he founded with Paul Allen. He ranked among the richest people in the world and ranked first from 1995 to 2009. In the final stages of his career, Gates conducted several philanthropic ventures by donating large amounts of funds to various charitable organizations and scientific research programs through Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which was founded in 2000. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight, which today is on Indonesia invites Indo-Pacific countries to create stability. The Indonesian government invites Indo-Pacific countries to realize peace and security stability in the region. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, when opening the 2018 Jakarta Geopolitical Forum 2, or JGF, titled Mapping the Future of Geopolitics, held by the National Defense Institute in South Jakarta on Wednesday, said welfare would definitely be related to the issue of peace. According to Retno Marsudi, the concept built on the Indo-Pacific was to promise a mutually beneficial geopolitical situation by prioritizing collaboration for mutual interest, including the creation of a new growth center. She stressed if there was a spread of the new economic growth center, it would mean an increase in welfare. In addition to ASEAN countries, she had also spoken with partner countries such as China, Russia, and the United States, Japan, Australia, India, and Korea. Moreover, history provides a lesson that cooperation will always be better than just competing. For this reason, Retno Marsudi hopes that in the future, the world order will be far better considering the complex challenges faced. There is no choice but cooperation among countries in the world. The surge in the world's population, for example, is increasingly sharpening competition between countries in protecting the region and managing its natural resources. This condition is also exacerbated by the existence of conflicts in a number of countries. Retno Marsudi added that the flow of refugees from war-torn countries into other countries directly affected the political stability of a region which had an impact on the world geopolitical situation. On that occasion, Retno Marsudi also mentioned Palestinian peace, which had a global impact. This issue is a benchmark for future global peace and stability. The Palestinian settlement will have a significant impact on the efforts of the international community to build a more peaceful and politically stable or even economic global situation. Meanwhile, the governor of the National Defense Institute, Agus Wijoyo, said this forum was a biennial event held by the Indonesian National Defense Institute to share information in addressing the world's geopolitical developments. According to Agus Wijoyo, it cannot be separated from the Chinese initiation, which revived the Belt and Road initiatives, trade war between the United States and China, and the weakening of the European Union, which was marked by the release of Britain or Brexit. This forum provides opportunities for practitioners, professionals, and academics to exchange views on the geopolitical future. He hopes that the results can have an impact on national security. Agus considered that at present, the boundaries of sovereignty are fading, especially the limits of information sovereignty and policy. Well, that was this week's Spotlight on Indonesia Invites Indo-Pacific to Realize Stability. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo delivered a speech at the opening of the First Catholic Church Choir Competition 2018 in Ambon on Saturday, October 27. The President's speech was heard prior to a speech by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan. Although it was short, the President's comments drew much applause from the attendees at Merdeka Field. The Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal, and Security Affairs, Wiranto, said that the development of the mental revolution had been going well. During the 4 years of Jokowi-JK administration, the mental revolution has actually not been fully achieved since it's still a process, but the development is quite good. Indonesia strongly condemned the attack at the Indonesian hospital in the Palestinian Gaza Strip, which caused damage to a number of parts of the hospital. Indonesian President Joko Widodo at Sidoarjo Region Hall East Java on Sunday said that the attack did not only destroy the hospital, but also the surrounding area. Prospective young diplomats from various countries are facilitated to conduct direct practice and get to know international relations in the form of UN session simulations with experts. Bank Indonesia BI constantly implements a monetary operation strategy oriented toward maintaining adequate liquidity in the rupiah market and foreign exchange market. London School of Public Relations, Jakarta is conducting a higher educational program for autistic children by employing various methods to enable them to learn and interact with people around them. The Indonesian Ministry of Industry continues to encourage the strengthening of branding of Indonesian jewelry products to be more competitive at the global level, in line with the government's focus on increasing export value. Listener, that was News in Brief.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, and a special segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including destination, art and culture, and also culinary. Today, I will invite you to Kulon Progo in Yogyakarta province to enjoy the beauty of Kedung Pedut Waterfall. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Apart from shortwave, you can also listen to this program at www.voinews.id or through RRI Play application. Kedung Pedut Waterfall Tourism is located in Kulon Progo, precisely in Kembang Hamlet, Jatimulyo Village, Girimulyo District. The uniqueness of this waterfall is that it has two colors, namely clear white and turquoise green, which makes this waterfall very beautiful and offers a very fantastic sight. Kedung Pedut Waterfall is commonly called Curug Kedung Pedut in the Javanese language. Curug means waterfall, Kedung means puddle or pond, and Pedut means mist. Kedung Pedut Waterfall is one of the waterfall tours that is famous for the beauty of its color. It consists of two color components, namely clear white and turquoise green. The clear white color occurs because of the flow of heavy water that comes from the waterfall beside this kedung or pond, while the turquoise green color is formed from the reflection of rocks in the riverbed which emanate sunlight. A very beautiful scenery in this area also attracts attention of many domestic and foreign tourists. Beside the pond, there are also some resting places made of bamboo for tourists. This waterfall has a smaller waterfall called Grojogan in local language underneath. Under the waterfall, there is a pool where you can play and swim. The route to Kedung Pedut Waterfall is not too difficult. If you depart from Yogyakarta and have entered Girimulyo at Kiskendo area, you can just turn to the left. From the parking lot, you still need to walk again about 10 minutes or about 200 meters to arrive at Jatimulyo where the waterfall is. The road to Kedung Pedut Waterfall is not confusing because there is only one lane. In addition, the management has also installed directions on many places. Enter the Kedung Pedut Waterfall tourist area, you just need to pay the entrance ticket of 3,000 rupiah per person, 2,000 rupiah for motorbike, and 5,000 rupiah for car parking. For your information, today, $1 is around 15,000 rupiah. So, it's very cheap, isn't it? So, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Kedung Pedut Waterfall in Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta.
Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a special program featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, and also lifestyle, environment, and even technology. This edition addresses the topic of 2018 Youth Pledge Day commemoration. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at www.voinews.id or through RRI Play application. October the 28th is celebrated as Youth Pledge Day, which is a major milestone of the Indonesian independence movement. Sumpah Pemuda or Youth Pledge is the decision of the Youth Congress held on October the 27th and 28th, 1928 in Jakarta. This decree affirmed the aspirations of one Indonesian homeland, Indonesian nation, and Indonesian language. The term Sumpah Pemuda or Youth Pledge itself did not appear in the congressional ruling, but was given afterwards. Three congressional decisions were listed on the wall of the Youth Pledge or Sumpah Pemuda Museum in Jakarta using the Oud van Opheusden spelling. In order to commemorate this 2018 Youth Pledge Day, the Ministry of Youth and Sports has prepared a series of activities titled Build Youth, Unite Indonesia. The Youth Pledge is a historical momentum uniting all elements of the nation to face all challenges together. The Deputy of Youth Development of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Asrorun Niam Soleh, said the event was expected to strengthen the unity of all elements of the nation in facing all the problems today through concrete actions. A number of major events were held, including the Youth Legend Workshop on October the 27th, attended by prominent youth leaders. The Youth Pledge commemoration ceremony was led by President Joko Widodo along with around 28,000 young people at the Velodrome Sports Center Rawamangun, East Jakarta. It was packaged in the Youth Expo and Festival on October the 28th. There were various interesting events, including talk shows and exhibitions, carnivals, youth community and entertainment entrepreneurship exhibition, and a talk show. This exhibition featured today's successful young people who shared experiences and knowledge on how they managed to be successful at a young age. Among others, business person and motivator Mary Riana, founder of Nala City Foundation, Hafisa Elvira, founder of Banjarmasin Creative Home, Muhammad Arifin, and gold medal winners of 2018 Asian Games and Asian Para Games. While the carnival presented an art and cultural parade by students and young people from various schools, campuses, and villages throughout Jabodetabek or Jakarta and its surrounding area, clad in regional clothes with interesting choreography. In addition, there were attractions by some communities and individuals in various branches such as BMX, skateboarding, dance, freestyle, basketball, and other street performances. Not to forget various regional dances combined with music performances on two different stages and driven by a number of famous Indonesian bands such as Republik, Coklat, Tipex, and Kotak. As the closing of the 19th Youth Pledge Day commemoration series of 2018, Youth Award Night will be held on Monday, October the 29th. It is hoped that all of these events could bring pride to the youth by looking back at the youth spirit in 1928. Well, that was Miss Leni today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. We'll be right back.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Dieter Leopold in Germany. He sent an email to German section. He was complained because he could not hear our broadcast in German program when he was in Western Australia. Mr. Dieter Leopold said that there was no signal, but he could listen to the German program from 1800 hours to 1900 hours UTC in the internet live streaming. He also commented about the three winners of the VOI International Quiz 2018, where they were invited to see Natural Park in West Java Province. He said that it was interesting experience for them. Hello Mr. Dieter Leopold, thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. For your complaint, we will deliver to our technical division why there is no signal in Western Australia. But we really appreciate your efforts to still hear our broadcast through internet live streaming. Therefore, special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Well, Mr. Dieter Leopold, please keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your report.
Kau datang dengan sejuta pesonamu. Kau buatku terpaku saat kau tersenyum. Sesaat waktu berhenti saat kau langkahkan kaki. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. Bibirku membeku tak dapat berkata, karena cantik parasmu sungguh tiada celah. Kaulah cahaya dunia, kaulah cantik yang sempurna. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. Aku tak dapat menahan gejolak dalam hati. Jiwa ini telah luluh saat kita bertemu. Apakah ku akan mampu memiliki dirimu? Ku rasa ku telah jatuh hati padamu. Kau datang dengan sejuta pesonamu. Kau buatku terpaku saat kau tersenyum. Kaulah cahaya dunia, kaulah cantik yang sempurna. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. Oh, ta-da-da-da. Kaulah cahaya dunia, kaulah cantik yang sempurna. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, beauty is you. You're the beauty, yeah, yeah. You are the beauty, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're the beauty. You are the beauty, hey, yeah. You're the beauty, beauty is you, and the beauty is you, and the beauty is you, beauty is you, you, oh yeah.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Jose Amador Hidalgo in Argentina. In his email, Mr. Jose Amador Hidalgo told that he was listening to our broadcast in Spanish program on September 15, 2018 through a shortwave receiver and also application through his mobile phone. Hello, Mr. Jose Amador Hidalgo. Thank you very much for your time to listen to our broadcast. Through mobile phone, our broadcast can be heard anytime and anywhere. Hopefully, you will be satisfied. So please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now, we will continue to reply an email from Omar Lasas in Algeria. This email was addressed to Voice of Indonesia and especially to the French service team. In his email, he congratulated the entire RRI World Service team on the occasion of the celebration of the 73rd anniversary of the broadcast of his first broadcasts abroad. All his warmest wishes and most sincere, and he wishes us a lot of success and prosperity and a big thank you to the entire RRI World team service to the efforts made for many years. Hello, Mr. Omar Lasas. Thank you for your prayer on our broadcast. We wish the same prayer also will happen to you. Well, Mr. Omar Lasas, please keep listening to our broadcast. For you, we will play a beautiful song. Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Mr. Bouze Bouja Mohamed, also in Algeria. In his email, he said that he will remain faithful to listen to Voice of Indonesia broadcast. Hello, Mr. Bouze Bouja Mohamed. Thank you very much for your willingness to be our regular listener. We hope you always listen to our broadcast every day and send your reception report. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRINet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2000 hours to 2100 hours West Indonesia time or 1300 hours to 1400 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen, but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RRI Play. First, download RRI Play mobile application from Google Play. Open RRI Play application, choose RRI Net, and then choose RRI Net 720 pixel. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and The Voice of Indonesia. Or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Putri Sofie Adela. Thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Saat ku berpaling, tak sengaja melupakanmu, tapi hatiku selalu untukmu. Oh, oh, denganmu. Satu, dua, tiga. Tapi ternyata cinta kita tak semudah yang kita kira. Ada saat ku berpaling, tak sengaja melupakanmu, tapi hatiku selalu untukmu. Oh, denganmu. Cinta sejatiku ada cinta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sounds.
Kurasakan kepadamu bila ku lukiskan, bila ku bayangkan, semuanya takkan cukup ku sadari. Sesungguhnya telah ku berikan semua cintaku ini, terlanjur mencintai, terlanjur menyayangi dirimu seorang. Cintaku ini, terlanjur memilihmu, terlanjur memujamu dengan atau tanpa. Sisiku bila ku lukiskan, bila ku bayangkan, semuanya takkan cukup kau sadari. Sesungguhnya telah ku berikan semua.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.